man, I got a fresh batch of bacon down there just killing me.
Bacon.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough podcast to deal with. Just smell
bacon.
Go get it and just eat it. We'll watch you enjoy it.
Bacon. Bacon sounds so good right now.
I know it does. I
gotta make some eggs with it though.
All I did was give myself a tasty kale protein shake this morning. Now you're talking bacon and eggs.
Do you guys cook the bacon? Wait, how do you cook your bacon?
Hold on. Are you guys recording?
Oh yeah,
I am. I'm always recording.
Never gonna miss this gold.
Yeah, let's include it all.
Yeah.
When the people that you know don't like you and you treasure friendships in, tune into this podcast.
This one here.
We're your artificial friends.
It's kind of sad, actually, what we consider to be gold, to be honest.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. This is quality entertainment.
Sure.
This is the stuff I thought about putting behind the Patreon wall.
Yeah. Have people pay us for this. Why are we giving this away for free?
It's gold. Bacon's the candy of meats. I think everybody knows
that. Now, how do you guys cook your bacon? How do you do it?
I don't even make bacon anymore.
I cook it in my dreams is how I cook it, because I can't make it here. Vegetarian.
I discovered a way, a couple years ago, because when you cook in the pan, it's just a pain in the ass because it spatters everywhere.
It's big old mess.
Yeah. Yes. And it's just, it's a pain in the ass to get the heat regulated because sometimes it's too hot, sometimes it's too cool. Yeah.
You don't want it too limp. You don't want it too stiff. Crispy.
Put your bacon in the oven.
Bake it?
Yes.
Bake your bacon?
It comes out awesome every single time.
In the oven? Yeah. So you're broiling it.
But right in the middle of the oven on a cookie sheet pan with put parchment paper down and then lay out just like 7 strips of bacon and bake it at 400 for 15 minutes. It comes out awesome. And no stress.
Doesn't sound like there's no reason that wouldn't work.
And then, the best part is that you take it out, right? And then you take the bacon out of the bacon fat and you let that fat sit there so it renders up and turns solid. And then you just scoop up the parchment paper and throw it in the garbage. No cleanup.
I think that maybe you've taken the name bacon a little bit too far.
No. Listen, I'm the only person on this podcast that makes bacon. So I'm the only one that my opinion counts the most.
I think that the White Trash Cookbook needs baked bacon.
I was going to say, it's a pretty good workaround, but that it might have to go in the cookbook under the technique section.
Yes, exactly.
In the same category as the motor oil to start the barbecue.
Yeah, we'll call it best practices.
Yes, there we go. FAQs. Yeah.
I do have to say this. One of the things about cooking bacon is the pain in the ass it is, because it's, you know, it shrivels up and in the pan and you can't put it all in at the same time and all that. So if you did have a cookie sheet with parchment on it and you just laid the bacon out, put it in there for 15 minutes and don't have to mess with it, there is some utility in that. Wow. I do kind of like it.
That is, I haven't done it in years. I do it on a sheet pan. It's 10 times easier. And if you want to save that bacon fat for something later, it's a little treat to, you know, fry up. You can fry up your eggs in it or something.
You just scoop your finger through that and just lick that baby right
up. Put it on a cupcake.
Sop it up with a biscuit.
Save it for my birthday cake.
Well, now I'm goddamn hungry for some fried up piggy.
If we're having these stupid podcasts at 9 in the morning, then there's going to be bacon involved. That's all I got to say.
Wait a minute. I think you are complicit in that.
I agree. I agree. But
it's a big day as we record this especially for you fans.
Yeah. Can't wait to see my team sweet sport. Lose.
Oh, really?
Fans of the sweet, sweet sport.
Look, Josh is already. Josh is in his typical negative.
I just gotta say, I was completely fine all year. I was like, okay, you know what? This is fine. This is gonna be Ben's last year. All the pressure's on the Browns and the Raisins. The Steelers don't have to worry about anything. They can just go. They can just play their football and see how they do. You know what I mean? I can. I put that game on Thursday. I watched 5 minutes. of it, I turned on the last 30 seconds and I was furious for a day. It ruined my Thursday and half of my Friday. And I was like, why am I old enough to not have to do this every single year? Why do I do this? And why do I convince myself that this year's going to be different and it's not going to emotionally affect me? And 30 seconds into the season and I'm furious already.
Wait, you were angry because Tom Brady won?
Yes, and Antonio Brown got a touchdown.
Wow.
Let me fill you in on how my season began. First game of the season, all right? As people are listening to this, week one is over, but we're talking on Sunday morning before the games have happened. Thursday, the first game of the season, I have one of my fantasy players going. I drafted Michael Gallup, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm thinking that, you know, there's going to be plenty to share down there, plenty of points to go around. And Michael Gallup, in the first minutes of the second half, I think he ripped his leg off.
It was up around his shoulder.
I'm not certain what's happening, but I know he's out for a month and a half now. And if that is a bellwether of the rest of my season, I'm pretty pissed.
Yeah, I think my third pick of the draft scored 3 points on Thursday. And you know what? I had to be talked into doing fantasy football this year. I was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Who's that?
Do you see my shirt?
Yeah.
This is, I don't know if I can lift it up high enough.
Hot Rod.
This is a Shepherd Fairey-like drawing of a bearded, bespectacled man wearing, you know, thick safety athletic glasses.
Yeah.
It's Rodrigo Blankenship. He is the kicker for the Indianapolis Colts, and he's the captain of my fantasy football team. He was one of the first, he was my first draft on last weekend.
Where does one acquire a Hot Rod t-shirt?
Yeah, where did that had to be custom made.
It was on the internets.
Oh. No, it wasn't.
They've got it all on the internets. It's all there. It's all there. But off to an auspicious start. Moments from now, when we hang up with each other, then the season begins in earnest with a slate of games all around the country. Mm-hmm. Your Pittsburgh Steelers will be playing Joshua.
They'll be losing.
And he's wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers hat right now.
Indianapolis Colts will be playing.
Indianapolis Colts will be playing early games today.
Yeah.
And the 49ers, I believe. Are they your team, Larry? We've gone through this before.
No, I haven't had an attachment to a pro team in a while, and I have jumped on the Rams train when they came back to town because I thought it would be nice to root for somebody here in town since I'm a Warriors fan and a Giants fan, and so you know, I've had up and down seasons with the Rams, and I'm going to stick to it. I'm very curious to see. Everybody seems really high on Matthew Stafford, and I keep feeling like, hasn't Matthew Stafford been in the league for fucking ever?
Yeah, he's played for a shitty team forever too.
Yeah, but what's he got left in him? I mean, I have high hopes for him, and it's an interest. I mean, everybody seems really enthused, and there is a lot of talent on that team, but I don't know how much he's got left in the tank, so it's going to be really interesting.
It is going to be interesting, and the beauty of it, I think, from the other side, the glass half full, is that for the first time since they've arrived back in Los Angeles, you don't have to root for Jared Goff because he's a goddamn idiot. Yeah.
He's feast or famine. He either
throws 400
yards and 4 touchdowns or 200 yards and 3 interceptions.
Yeah, didn't he think that the sun rose in the west or some shit when they did the Hard Knocks?
Hard Knocks did not help him at all for his acumen. He does seem like one of those guys where he's not smart enough to be he might be a physically talented player, but he doesn't have football smarts, or that, for that matter, any smarts, it seems like.
Really? He's
that
dumb?
That's the thing. I
think people figured him out pretty quickly and have made him ineffective.
Yeah, I was surprised somebody traded for him. I was a little, you know.
Well, teams need quarterbacks, man.
A situation where Stafford wanted out, and they were like, well, let's get something for him.
Can't imagine that someone in Detroit said, to really turn this program around? We need to go get that Jared Goff guy.
I can't believe that was the cornerstone of a franchise right there.
We're going to build it around him is what we're going to do. By the way, my name is Andy Chanley.
Oh, yeah.
That's Joshua Fligger. Larry Morgan is this other fella talking. And Sam Farmer is on the big assignment.
He's on assignment
for the
next
He's on
months.
His assignment with a capital A right now. This is the day job.
Do you know what I just realized?
He actually gets to go to the games too.
Yeah.
You know what we haven't talked about yet regarding football is the Super Bowl is in LA this year.
That's right. Is it SoFi Stadium?
Yeah, the Super Bowl.
Well, technically next year. Tactically, it will be in 2022.
The 2021-22 season Super Bowl will be played in SoFi Stadium.
Yeah. And practically no one has been in that thing it's been finished. Yeah. So it's going to be kind of an amazing. I mean, now there's so much stuff lined up. The Stones are going to play there.
Stones in October,
Should be really phenomenal. And I have yet to set foot in there, but I've talked to people who do because we, in our cluster, Jack FM actually runs the Rams broadcast, much to their chagrin, on their signal on the FM, and people just say it's an amazing place.
My boss took a tour of it, and he said you could pay like before the preseason even started, or the season started, they were offering like $25 tours, and that took like a half day of work and took his kid down, and he said it was like a private guided tour, and it was awesome. He said it was fantastic.
Let me tell you something about those Rams games on the radio. They are. I speak from experience working at 100.3 The Sound.
Sure.
They're what they call a ratings bonanza.
Interesting. Yeah.
People really enjoy them on an FM station too.
Yeah.
They look forward to digging into their FM dial and be like, I want some sports.
Yeah, big fans of Adele are happy to cut off the music for three hours, and then maybe an hour on either side of pregame and postgame.
Nothing like going
in the middle of their Sunday.
Nothing like
to
going
hear.
From Adele to Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, it's kind of funny internally. We don't promote it very much, but everybody's usually in there rooting for the Rams to have a terrible season, so it doesn't go into the playoffs and extend the pain. People absolutely, you can follow it hour by hour. People tune out.
Oh, man, I had to answer all those emails. All those emails were coming straight into my email box.
Not to get too deep in the weeds here, but I remember a time when this was all getting ready to happen, and I was on the train. I was pulling the whistle, saying, you know what? This is going to be great.
Well,
because we're going to have the Rams games on 100.3 The Sound, this rock station of ours. We're going to air these Rams games, and we're going to get a whole new audience of people who stick around to find out what's happening on Monday morning with Mark in the morning. I know that's what's going to happen.
The Steelers do their games on FM on a classic rock station, WDVE in Pittsburgh. That's they air their.
A lot of markets
do. So it wasn't
weird
to me. Everybody else is like, oh, and I'm like, that's just the way I grew up. It was always on FM.
Yeah, the Niners are on the Bone up in San Francisco.
The Bone.
it's not uncommon, but if you have to, like, I remember when. The company formerly known as Intercom decided to part ways with 100.3 The Sound, one of the biggest question marks. And there was even a poll, you know, there was a pool going on who was going to be stuck with the Rams games. And we were just, I mean, I'm sure there was some internal debate on why should we have it? I mean, trying to push it off on, should it go on the Wave? It's just
right?
Like, oh no.
Because they do the Wave games.
There you go. Okay.
It could have been great.
Anyway. Football.
You imagine the Sounders for that? They could have, you're listening to football on the Wave. You know, right? The little thing as it goes around.
Yeah, it writes itself.
This is meant to happen.
Okay, go for it. Do it. Andy, you lead the charge.
I'll mention it.
Fellas, do you...
So on my podcast this week, we were talking about...
Fellas,
yeah,
do you
a completely definitely not disgruntled former employee had a suggestion. That would make you gruntled? I don't know.
To gruntle me again. That's what you got to do. I'll say this. Best of luck to you, Josh, in your virgin season. Best of luck to you, Larry, in your nascent Ram season. Yeah. And God bless the Indianapolis Colts.
So did you do your fantasy draft? Isn't that usually something we always talk about? But
thankfully, that passed us by without any pain.
That happened last weekend. Uh-huh.
It wasn't a big do this year?
It was a do.
It was
a big to do. Yeah. Oh. We rented a house in Lake Arrowhead.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man. How are you not hearing about this?
And because I guess we were so busy and diligent with our podcast last week.
Oh, that's right.
It didn't come up.
No, we were too focused on cartoon theme songs. You're right.
That's right.
You're right.
So we rented a mansion in Lake Arrowhead.
Jeez.
And this place was, it slept 16. I mean, it was just a ridiculous, huge place. And it was lovely. It had a view of of Lake Arrowhead. From the grand room, there was a large room that was a dining room and living room kind of area, the fireplace and stuff. And that's where we did the drafting. And sometimes those drafts can get to be a little bit nerve-wracking. Things aren't going your way. Things aren't going your way, right?
Just like a good Dungeons & Dragons campaign, right? Just to get you know,
precisely.
The tension builds.
Precisely, yeah. If my spell of making doesn't quite work on that level 4 orc, uh-huh. then...
Cast Circle of Truth.
Yeah, so things can go pear-shaped. So if, somebody outbids me for a player that I thought I had a lock on or, something, things go wrong in the course of this auction draft, the great thing was I could turn and look out this picture window at these boats going out on the lake, and it just looked like this beautiful bucolic scene. It was truly breathtaking. Laura's pissed. She's like, "You mean to tell me you rented an expensive mansion in Lake Arrowhead and you guys didn't see the lake one time? You didn't go down there at all?" I'm like, that's accurate. That's right.
There's no beer down there.
It went well. And, as immunocompromised as I was when I was in the throes of chemotherapy. But I'm still not firing on all cylinders in that regard. So I'm careful about my health. I don't take stupid chances. So to do all of this, everyone who went there was double vaccinated. And leading up to it, people were taking... they were taking self-tests and making sure that nobody showed up there with the vid. And, and we didn't, none of us mouth kissed. So it was real
thumbs
effort
down.
To.
Sounds like a party fail.
What was the criteria for allowing in the hookers when they got there? What did you have? Did they have their proper paperwork, that sort of thing?
You got to take some chances in your life, Okay. I mean, right. you got to spin the wheel from time to time. And so when the Bukkake games began, None of that happened. That was just for shock
Is
value.
That the proper way to say that word?
Let's not even.
You know what? You know what? I think I mixed bucolic.
And yes. I was just staring out the window at the serene Bukkake setting.
That's so wrong. Yeah, go look that up and never listen to this again. This podcast is never going to get any of us a job.
No.
Just, and it will be the primary obstacle in us getting better, occupations.
Yeah. No. Anything high profile at all possible for any three of us will be found.
Yeah. And if anybody's doing their due diligence, they'll go back and find these moments. Yeah.
There's a really good HR officer at this company. They are never going to let us work anywhere.
This won't work out.
I'm stuck on Bukaki. Yeah. Buke.
Jeez. We should move on.
All right, I'm sorry.
We probably should. My draft went swimmingly well. It was great fun.
Did anybody outbid you for Hot Rod?
No, I got him.
You got a decent deal on your Hot Rod?
Without problem. I did get outbid on some players that I was excited about. One of the players that I was most excited about, that I really, really wanted.
Najee Harris.
Is Najee Harris.
I got him.
Son of a bitch. He's the rookie running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you go and watch Larry highlight film from his college career, this is a man among boys. Yeah. He is like hurtling over people and stiff arming and he's just a monster.
And going to a team that is thirsting for a running game, so they're going to get and he's good with the pack receiving too. So
he's going to a team that loves to ride one bell cow running back. It's clear that this guy's going to have he's going to have 1,500 yards.
Up that passing game too, so then they won't just be sitting back and putting five defensive backs on three receivers and. That they'll be forced to pay attention to the line of scrimmage. It'll be interesting to see. Their whole season, honestly, I'm not worried about their defense. Their defense is going to be fine. Their whole season relies on their offensive line because they got two rookie starters.
I'm bitter about not getting him. I'll tell you that for a fact. But otherwise, went well. I'm excited about the season. I'm pretty sure I'm going to win everything.
Did you win last year?
I did not. Made the playoffs, but I did not win.
Did you get what did was the trophy there? You got to look at it and see your name on it and everything. Was it at the facility?
Four times. Yeah. It's on there four times. I wore my four championship rings.
Yeah.
So that people could be reminded of my prowess.
Honestly, Josh, I'm beginning to feel like this is worse than a Dungeons and Dragons weekend. Like nerdier,
Yeah. Absolutely.
Let me man this up just a little bit then. I'm gonna send you guys a text here, if I can. There it is. I just sent you both a text. Open your phones and look at the text that I just sent you. Now, it needs to be cleaned up just a little bit. It's not, it needs to be scrubbed up. Just describe to everyone what it is you're looking at.
Larry, you're the wordsmith. You go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I recognize this as the front entrance of the posh Andy Chanley estate. And the first thing I notice is a welcome mat it must be replaced because that does not match the pattern at all.
It's too busy.
No,
it's too busy.
It's terrible.
It's too busy. It's totally too busy. We've already had this conversation.
What we're looking at is a pristine new set of steps and small porch that has been professionally tiled in the most beautiful way.
Is that metal on the corners?
Yeah, that's what they call bullnose corners.
Okay. And I want to commend you for finally getting this done.
Yeah.
The treacherous path that was the steps before.
Yeah, this is
kept many a strong man from being able to enter your home in a normal way.
It's been Stepgate for quite some time.
No. So I concur with Josh. Who was the guy that you found to do this for you?
Jose did this. All right. Yeah, he.
I feel like this
killed it.
The end of an era. Like. I'm glad it's over, but now a little piece of me is empty because I can't make fun of the front porch steps anymore. I need to look for something else.
Well, this should be Josh, hard. honestly, this means is that this clears the way for Vangate or whatever the hell we're calling
that's
it.
That's true. You know what? Yeah, you're right.
I can only hope. First of all, quite beautiful. Toilet looks lovely. Get those damn dirty shoes off there and that welcome mat.
I'm so happy it was done. And here's the thing is, you know, I started this last summer. Last summer I began, I popped off those tiles.
Right.
And it took me quite some time to get off all of the mastic that was on there. You know, the thin set that was gluing them on. It was just a horrible, incredibly difficult job with a air chisel, you know, getting all of that pneumatic chisel, getting all of those things off and getting it ready to be tiled. Lara got pissed at me and said, I will give you until the day the kids go back to school. I want to be able to take pictures. You've got to have this done by the first day of school. What you're looking at there is
the day before the first day of school.
The day the day before they're working on it. And at the end of the day, they come to me and they say, we've been working on this all day. And we really feel like this last little bit, we could do a lot better job if we came back tomorrow and did it then. And I said, okay, we're going to have to live with this for a long time. I want it to look nice. You know, finish it tomorrow. They finished it on the day of the first day of school. And of course, no one could get on it to take a picture, you know, in front of the house like we usually do because it was, you know, still a work in progress. So I took a little flack for that, but technically.
Did you just Photoshop it in the background?
Technically, I got it done on the day of school. So, that job is finished. Oh, next, it's widening good. Next, we widen the driveway.
Oh, we're doing
bit.
That. Okay.
Curb. It'll be curb gate.
Well, that's clearly just setting up for the van plant. Yeah, so you have exactly. room to be constructing the beautiful new shower shitter, a van, whatever we're calling it.
Four-wheel impossible drive dream.
The impossible dream.
Can you get a personalized, can you get a vanity plate that says shower shitter?
I'm sure you can come up with the right, as long as it passes. SHWR.
SHT, shower shit. Yeah, I'm sure that's perfect. That's exactly what I want. But I wanted to share that with you guys because I know that you share my joy and you're excited for me. Now then,
sure.
The other day, I get a text from Josh. Was that to you too, Larry, or was it just to me?
No, I was not included in this.
It was just to me. Josh texts me. Can I share this, Josh?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is this Josh texts me and he says, "Hey, I need a guy. Can you point me to a guy?" And this is pursuant to our podcast weeks ago where we talked about sometimes you need the guy. And did I tell you about my electrician who came? I think I did.
Yeah,
I told
you
the story.
You walked
about
him around and had him look at every socket in the house.
And he was telling me about, you know, his bathroom and how he had just redone it during the pandemic. And he said, "You know what I won't do? I won't do tile. I refuse to do tile because it's so hard to do right." And so, you know, I had a guy for the tile. I get this text from Josh, and Josh says, "Hey, I need a guy. Do you have a guy I need to put in a vent my dryer?
A return vent for my air conditioner."
Oh, I thought it was for your clothes dryer.
He does. He texts me a picture of a drywall knife and just says, "Do it yourself." I'm like, what a dick.
Wait.
But I thought about doing it, but there's more to it than just cutting a hole in the wall and putting a mounting a bracket in for the filter. It's more to it than that because there's like, it's a small area and like the smallest vent I could find was like a 14 by 14. I'm not going to get into Andy Land and talk about this. Nobody gives a shit.
I see now.
It's more complicated than cutting a hole in the wall and putting a filter in.
What I saw is I saw a vent in my drywall and my mind went to, to a dryer vent.
Clothes dryer? Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally, Larry, but it clearly says here. He texted me a picture from like Lowe's of a drywall knife. He goes,
an $8 drywall knife.
It'll cost you a couple $100. Just do it yourself. I'm like,
I wrote, measure twice, cut once.
Yeah, remember what I said? I was like, oh, yeah, I was thinking about doing it, but I really don't want. It's worth the $200 not to have my wife pointing, asking me every single thing I'm doing along the way. And why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing it? It's like, I'll just pay some guy $200 and I'll deal with it.
how much does his job pay? Pays $200?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't do it. I actually took your advice and went out and started looking for vents, and I'm just going to try doing it myself, but it still seems like a tricky thing to do.
I was going
to
say, if there's a few hundred bucks to be made here. Maybe after the Colts game this afternoon.
Like I said, there's multiple facets to just cutting. It's not, it's in a weird position. It's in a weird area. There's like pipes behind where I got to cut. There's framing behind where I got to cut. It's just, it's a tricky little thing. And it's like, you know what? I'm just going to do it.
I'd love to take a stab at it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Just
make Andy your guy.
Yeah.
I'll send knife in there and goes right through a pipe.
Yeah. And then he leaves. See ya.
Sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah. Cindy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Have it done for the first day of school, Andy.
Yeah, next year. First year of school. Next year.
Plenty of time. Well, I did not follow Josh's advice, and I had a maintenance light go off on the old reliable Honda this week. It was time for just regular maintenance, which included this round tire rotation. Yeah. And I said to myself, I'm not going to do that myself because that would be a dumb thing to do.
You didn't buy a bunch of jacks Josh wants to do.
I didn't go and clear out the auto parts store of every jack they had.
You only need two jack stands.
I know, and rotate them around. And it's just that's going to be an all day affair. Plus,
you really just need one jack and four cinder blocks.
That's true.
Well, what am I going to do with my other cars sitting up in the yard? Well, I got to take this anyway. So I went to the old Honda place, and there was other stuff that needed to be done. It was regular maintenance. So I got first appointment in the service department at Honda of Hollywood on Santa Monica Boulevard. Got in there right away. It was the smartest thing I could do is because there was a line behind me, so I was like second in line, and got my deal in there. And it was still going to take a couple hours, so I walked on down to a little Starbucks. And was getting some work done. And let me tell you, guys, if you ever want to just sit and observe and absorb the parade of humanity is Hollywood.
What intersection?
Is the place. Santa Monica and Vine.
So you're telling me that
across from the Army Surplus store that across
Sergeant?
The street there. Yep.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, man.
You're telling me that Santa Monica Boulevard in Hollywood is an interesting cross-section of humanity?
And it's not, but it's not like the West Hollywood part of Santa Monica. It is the edge of any sort of Venn diagram you can come up with of type is coming to that corner, because you've got the business person that's on the way to, you know, downtown or commuting through, and you've got the local who comes in looking like the human equivalent of the comic book store guy in The Simpsons with added fanny pack.
You got the Hasidic Jews walking up the street with their babushka hats.
You've got the street people coming in and kind of moving from table to table or coming over and asking you, everything all right? Everything good? You've got suddenly a maitre d' at Starbucks. And I couldn't get anything done because all I wanted to do was see who was coming in the door next, because it was a central casting for some, you know, schlocky movie about how weird Hollywood was. Yep. And it was absolutely on point all the time. When they called me to tell me my car was ready, I was disappointed because I was so entertained. And it wasn't like looking down at people. It wasn't like denigrating anybody in there, because people, I mean, when the phrase "let your freak flag fly" was created at that intersection of Santa Monica and Vine, because freak flags were flying, man, and it was awesome. Well, and nobody cared.
I love that. I love that area. We lived in Hollywood. That we go to the three clubs all the time, which is right there at that intersection. And just
there you
the people in that area, it's awesome. It's
wild.
It's entertaining.
It's never it's boring wild. Whatsoever. Never boring whatsoever. You just like, you have no idea what you'll see. You might one day you see somebody walking around with a live chicken taped to their face. You have no idea what's going on. It's just like,
and
okay,
the cool
whatever.
Thing is, like, you see somebody like super extremely interesting for completely different reason than that other person over there who's very extremely interesting. And they know each other. Like, they like in the grand scheme of things, it just made me feel like, you know what? We can all find ways to connect and get along, no matter how diverse we might all be. Because if we can all get together and say hello in the morning over a cup of coffee, then we can solve all of life's problems. It was awesome.
I like that.
It was
like
so
that.
Great. It was great.
You know what's weird is I also went to get my car serviced this week.
This is starting to be weird because my check engine light just went on yesterday.
My check engine light came
no.
on. Yeah. On the way, I was going over to my good friend Cortland Cox, who I think maybe you might know there. We were going to commute together to the draft last weekend. I'm driving my car over to his place to leave it there while we, you know, go together. And the check engine light comes on. And I don't have time to deal with it. I'm just going to go there. I'm going to park the car, and then I'm going to go. As I'm then en route to Lake Arrowhead, it pops in my head, you know what? I bet I know what that was. I bet it was that thing where if your gas cap comes loose.
That's exactly what mine is.
Yeah.
A check engine light came
what
on.
What made you think that?
Because if you research, well, here's what it is. My check engine light came on, and then these two other lights came on, and they were, and yours is a Prius, so it's a Toyota. They probably have these same things.
Yep.
Is a track control, and then like
it's a negative pressure imbalance.
SCA, skid control, something off. And basically what is happening is, there's your gas cap. Your either gas cap is not clicked, or there's a pressure valve like in the gas cap that might be screwed up. And or your gas little nozzle thing is dirty and just needs wiped. But yeah, I had the exact same thing happen. That's crazy.
So what you do, it's happened to me before. Yeah. I've gone in. I said, hey, my check engine light is on. And the guy says, your gas cap loose? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
He goes over there and he opens up the little door and he clicks it. He goes, yeah, your gas cap was loose. He goes, I think you can be all right. I'm like, wow, okay.
You would think with this technology that they would have a light on your dashboard that says gas cap loose.
Yeah,
that comes on that instead of making you feel like your engine's about to blow
right.
up.
Right. I was going to say, they're assholes for not putting that light in there, because that feeling of check engine light coming on is just a punch in the gut.
Yeah. Because you've been told since you were a teenager, because your dad yells at you, if that light ever comes on, two things. One, immediately pull over and get it serviced because something's wrong. And two, you've been neglecting your car and you're a jerk for not
right.
checking
exactly.
the oil
right.
or whatever. Ever. Because
exactly.
if check engine light comes on, that means something bad is about to happen, fault.
My initial reaction is immediately my stomach drops, and then my next part goes, well, how much is this going to cost? Do I need to buy a new now? Do I need to buy a new truck?
Totally. So I go in there and I tell the service advisor about, and I said, oh, you know, it's due for a service. You know, the light has been the you know little message has been on my dash for most of a year saying your car is due for service, and I just ignore it because I drive the thing once a week. That's it. I never drive my car. So I've kind of blown that off. The check tire pressure light was on, but I've gone around and checked the tires. None of them.
That's
are low.
Another thing where they have those
that
little sensors in the
drives
in the valves
me nuts.
That they,
yeah,
that's the check tire pressure thing. They should eliminate that because it causes more problems than it's actually worth.
Well, I've got that going on. I have the check engine light on as well, and I said to him, the check engine light came on a few days ago. I said, my gas cap was completely loose, and I tightened it. I said, but it still hasn't gone off, so you should probably check that out. And there was a recall as well. But he said, about the gas cap thing, he's like, the check engine light, he's like, how many days has it been? I said, I don't know, two, three? It's like, yeah, give it a few more days.
Yeah, that's a
seriously?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it'll like reset itself.
I'm talking to the service advisor at the dealership and about my check engine light. He's like, yeah, give it a few days.
I looked this up on the internet and I watched like 10 videos and they all said the same thing. Like, do these three things. And that was like 3 days ago. Mine's still not gone off yet. Maybe after this we record this, I'm going to run to AutoZone and just buy a new cap for $15 and throw it on there. And, you know, it's a $15 try to see if that'll fix it. Then I don't have to worry about it anymore. But yeah, so what's happening is the check engine light is going off because of the gas cap, and that's triggering the other two lights. So the other two lights won't go off until the check engine lights goes off first. But those other two lights have nothing to do with the gas cap. It's like a traction skid control system. I have no idea why. Who knows? It's stupid.
I hope we don't read that you accidentally skidded into a cement truck.
Well, I looked up, like, what happens if I don't get this fixed? And they're like, everything said, well, it's just for, like, extreme weather, like snow and storms. I'm like, ah, fuck that. I'm not fixed. I live in Southern California. I don't have to worry about that. Does that have anything to do with fires? Because that's the only thing I'm scared of.
By the way, they give me a laundry list of things they didn't fix. You know, they always like to do that. It's like your cabin air filter, yeah. Your HEPA filter is filthy, and we didn't replace that. And then your engine air filter is unspeakably filthy.
Oh, you can just
and we
take
didn't
that
replace
out,
that.
Smack it around, throw it well, back
that's, in. That's what I did. I look at the list, and you had a couple of lights, little bulbs that were out on your car. Meaningless, you know, like side running lights and, you know, license plate light or some shit. And it said that all of those are out, and they listed how much it would cost to replace those things.
Right.
Like $200. Yep. Exactly. And so I go on Amazon and I buy all of those things for $40. And I'm going to just replace it myself. I can handle that. Yeah. I can handle that.
It's amazing the shit you can do now from YouTube. The shit you can learn how to do just by watching YouTube videos. I've figured out so many like little auto mechanic tricks just by, I mean, like before, if there was no such thing as YouTube, I would have to take this car in to get a fog lamp light bulb replaced. And that would have cost me like $190. And it's like, I just went to AutoZone and bought one for $25, crawled underneath the car, put it in myself. I had this one thing that had to do with my catalytic converter, that there was like some sensor that set my check engine light off, right? And I had no idea what it was. I went into AutoZone and they gave me one of those little, the reader things where you plug it in. So I did that. Then I went in and he read it and he said, you need to replace this thing. And he went and got it and it was like $15. And I took it home, got on YouTube, and looked up how to replace it. And all I did is pop my hood. 15 minutes later, I put it in, started my car up, check engine light went right off. It was like, okay, that would have cost me, who knows, that would have cost me $200 just for them figuring out how to do it, and then another $100 to put it in. So it's amazing what you can learn from
watching YouTube. You can save hundreds and hundreds by doing some of that simple shit yourself.
I can't imagine how much I saved watching that YouTube video on how to reprogram my garage door opener remote. I mean, I would have paid a pretty penny for that. Although you guys mocked me about that when I told you about it. But the fact is, it was one of those things where the remote I had was not the most recent model. The remote I had was an updated model. The garage door opener was an older model, and nothing on their website said anything about how to program it, which was different than the way you used to program the old remote. And sure enough, there's a frickin' YouTube video with a guy going, all right, this is complicated. And it was like, hold this down, point this at that, hold that button up there, make sure this pin is clicked off, hit that two times, and then keep hitting it until it starts working. It's like, how could I have ever figured that out on my own? And by the way, how did you freaking figure that out? It's who did there that? Was, it's like left, right, left. It was like playing a video game.
Well,
crying
I was just gonna say, like, anytime we get something or something stops working, before I even think about taking it back or whatever, I'm like, let's get on YouTube. Or let's just Google search it to see if this is a common problem. And most of the time it is, and there's a link to a 30-second YouTube of, you know, your settings are wrong. Just go in here and change this, and then there you go. It works. I just did the same thing the other day. My kid got new headphones for playing Fortnite, and the microphone wasn't working, and we couldn't figure out how to get it work. I just Googled it. I just had to go into a setting and change something, and he thought I was a wizard. And Daddy, Daddy saved the day once again.
We had this happen. It's true, because almost always there is a forum somewhere online for other people who have the same exact issues. And this was so dumb, but it was so simple. It was like, I've got Apple TV app on my Roku, but every time I wanted to watch a show on Apple TV, it would come up as video not available, which is a weird phrase to have come up, which only feels like something, you know, like too many people watching it. I don't have access to it, but nothing would play. And clearly, this is, again, one of those Apple conspiracy things where they want you to buy an Apple TV instead of having the Roku. So they've made it difficult for an older model Roku to play the show. And so I finally went to a forum and scrolled down the list, and all these other people had, you know, it sounded like a bunch of IT guys going, did you restart? Did you re-download the app? And finally, a woman said, here's the workaround I found. I have to go to my phone or my iPad, pull up Apple TV Plus, start the show there, stop it, close it, open up the app on the Roku, and then it'll start playing.
Wow. Now, so do you think it is an actual Apple thing trying to screw you over?
Or? Oh, are you kidding? Yeah. The fact that they actually build their batteries to degrade over time, so you have to buy a new phone? Of course they're doing something like that.
Let me tell you an Apple thing, though, that might save you some money. Apple has come out with, and this is, goes back to the automotive thing as well, they've come out with these things, the AirTag. Have you seen them?
No.
They're about the size of a quarter. And, you know, three times the thickness, a little, you know, bottle cap looking thing.
Yeah, and me too.
They're called AirTags. They cost $29. And the way they work is you can put one in your backpack, in your luggage, in whatever.
Swallow
anything you don't want to lose. And you can track it using the Find My app on your phone.
It's the same thing like tagging a dog.
Yeah.
Microchip
that's what we use.
It's the same thing as getting a COVID shot. You get that little chip in there, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Track your every movement. Sure.
It's Apple's tracking you.
That's what we use it for, cuz I thought, well, if you had one of those, cuz getting the our cats tend to wander out of the yard, and it makes us worried about what's going to happen. And someone is going to call in or write in and saying you should keep your cats indoors. But those people should stick it.
Go take a dive.
Stick an Apple tag somewhere.
You should stick it. Anywho, so I'm like, well, if I could find something to encase this thing in, something to hold it on, you know, we could put one of those tags on a collar and have it on our cats, and I could track them on my phone.
I think we talked about this.
We did talk about it. Well, I got it, and I ordered the little thing from Lithuania off Etsy.
Lithuanian Etsy.
Andy only does his technology shopping from afar. He only shops in China. That's right. Lithuania.
I only get Chinese dongles. Lithuanian Etsy.
I like my technology to have a really strong, funky smell to it when I get it. I want it in a bag, and I want it to smell like some turpentine or something. It's definitely going to have that to it.
It needs to be made by preschool age children before I will let it. Bring it into the house.
When I shop, I always shop to pay tariffs.
Anywho, these things
arrive. Everything I buy, I make sure it says not made in America, because that's who I am.
Hey, if somebody in America made it, that'd be great. But only the ingenious minds of Lithuanians was able to come up with this particular piece of kit.
All right.
So anyway, I get these. I put them on the cats. And they work reasonably well. You know, I mean, you can kind of track them. The thing I'm thinking is, you know, if the cats wander way off, you know, I can, you know, get a good idea of roughly where they are. And what it works is, it works on that, you know, the network of any iOS device that happens to be near it. You know, no one else can track it, but it pings off of everybody else's iPads and, you know, and iPhones, and kind of triangulates on where the cat is. So Last night, Pikah didn't come home. And so, you know, I'm tracking him, tracking her on the app.
Did you go outside like the movie Aliens? Just take your scanner outside.
I did. I was out there looking around. Well, because it said she was in the middle of the fucking street, you know, a couple of blocks away in the middle of, you know, like the busy 4-lane street. I'm like, fuck, you know, the cat gets smashed in the middle of the street. So I go out there and look and I don't see any carcasses, which is a good thing.
It's always a good thing, unless you're trying to get carcasses.
I come back home, and we're like, oh, maybe she'll come back later. So we check a little bit later. Doesn't come home. We're like, fuck it. Well, we got to go to sleep. So we go to sleep and wake up this morning. Maybe she'll be, you know, at the door in the morning. Not anywhere to be found. And I track her, and it says she's over that direction again. And I'm thinking, well, maybe she's in, like, somebody got trapped in somebody's garage or something.
Or maybe someone took her in, yeah.
And I was going to go and you know, around and look for her. And Laura's like, take a can of food and open it. And she'll come running.
So, like a pie in a windowsill?
Are you walking down the street with a yes. can and a can opener so that yes. she can hear the sound?
When you open up the can, did you actually visually see things floating away from it and then, like, going towards the cat?
Here's the thing. Picture, if you can, me walking around the streets of North Hollywood with a can of half-open cat food saying, here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Do you think the neighbors went
waving the scent around like it's incense in a Catholic mass?
Do you think the neighbors went, hey, the guy that carries the wood on his back now is canned cat food walking around.
He must have gotten out of the home, poor guy.
All that fucking happened this morning. I'm walking around in my hot rod shirt with a half-open can of cat food saying, here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Well, did you find Pikah or did Pikah come back?
I give up because it's time for us to come in and do this podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So I said to Laura, do you want my phone so you can track, you know? And she goes, yeah, leave it. And she's like, let me try again. She goes out in the backyard, walks out there with a can of food going, here, Pikah, here, kitty, 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 kitty. And meow, jumps out of, was sitting in the bicycle trailer for Viv, you know, the little two-wheel trailer that you pull behind the bike,
right.
Was sitting in there napping and just popped out and went around, meow.
Well, does your tracking device not find it then?
It's not fucking rocket science.
Is it accurate within a quarter mile?
Yes. it's not perfected science.
You can tell if the cat is in Beverly Hills or Santa Monica, but you can't tell if that's about as close you can get.
That's about as good. It depends. It depends on if it's in contact with some phone or whatever. Then you can track it like you're walking around in real time. Here's the thing, though. Here's what I was going to say about the car. You can tell roughly where the thing is, right? You can tell, you know, within, you know, a half block of where something like that is. You buy one of those little $29 things and you tape it inside your car somewhere underneath the dash. And instead of paying $1,000 for a low jack, you've got a $29 low jack. So if somebody steals your car, then you can tell the police, hey, I know where my car is. Can you
I know where my car is within a half mile.
But if it's parked out back accidentally, I'm not going to be able to find it.
It stopped in the middle of the street somewhere.
That's basically right.
Like, why don't you go get a can of cat food? Want to walk around the neighborhood.
That's right. That's basically right. Yep. I got a phone call. We have a YAF line. I don't know if you know that. If you want to call in and speak to us, you can.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. It's
you were talking. Okay.
You have to tell us. We know, Andy. Yeah. Jeez.
No.
I see.
I was talking to the listener. It's called the YAF line. It's 626-657-6428. 626-657-6428 or O Amok PM hat. And you can call it. Here's the thing, though, is I'm looking at this and there are four calls here.
Oh, okay.
They are all from the same number.
Ooh.
Interesting. And cumulatively, how long will this be a commitment to enjoy?
It looks like about 10 minutes of talking here over these four.
How much time is separated between these calls? Are they all like back to back or?
Well, no, they're a few days apart from here.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So here's what I propose.
Do you want to curate these before we listen to them at some point?
Let's listen to one.
And then we'll vote.
And we'll vote on whether we want to continue or not.
I can vote right now.
Mail-in voting, right?
I got mine locked in.
All right. Let's give this a try. This is dangerous.
I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. Oh. Sitting outside a bar. I won't be. Well, maybe I should tell you who I am first. This is Todd. I listen to some of your most recent stuff. Then I kind of thought I was going to listen to some of the older stuff, and now I'm stuck in the past. I know that Shed Talk it eventually stops, because I didn't hear any Shed Talk when I was listening to the newer episodes. But then again, here we are talking about Sheds, maybe. The Patreon thing, I think you should do it. Shit. I mean, when Mark and Gina was in, that would have been great. I would have paid to see that. The time that Josh was getting ready to puke and Andy was laughing so hard that he started laughing like a girl. I almost wrecked my semi. Oh, by the way, I am a truck driver here in Southern California.
Oh. At the bar.
Sometimes, actually a couple times, I've had to physically stop my truck to not wreck a truck or kill somebody because I've been laughing so hard.
Oh, man.
So I'm basically working my way through your older episodes. You just went on vacation, Andy. You were going to pull out the water slide for the kids. You had to pull it out of the shed. Hey, show us the shed in Patreon. I think there's some people might want to see it. Or your little, what's that little brick wall you built? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, but I'm a little nervous that I was going to hang up now.
But, well, all right then.
I think he actually did quite well.
Yeah, that was entertaining.
Yeah. And encouraging us to create more content, because apparently there is a thirst out there for even more behind the scenes opportunities.
The weird part is he was outside of a bar. So
did he say outside?
I thought he said I'm outside of a bar right now. Didn't he at the beginning?
I think he did. He said something about being at a bar. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so he left the bar. I'm assuming you had a few cocktails.
Maybe he's waiting to go in. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I would assume he left.
I don't think that he's, you know, on a run right now.
Okay. Maybe you're right.
I would love to assume that he is off duty and not driving a semi while he's imbibing.
Well,
yes.
my point was what. Clicked in his brain to say, this is the time for me to call. You know what I mean? Like, usually it would be like after you listen to podcasts, because you still have it in the head, what you just listened to. But like, coming out of a bar, the last thing I think about is this podcast. Like, coming out of anywhere, the last thing I think about is this podcast. But
no, I think he just had a long run, delivered his haul. He's calling it a day. He deserves a nice adult beverage. He's listening to the podcast.
He took an Uber down to his local bar.
Indeed.
He drove the truck there and Uber and home.
Okay. And he's listening to the podcast as he pulls up to a fine drinking establishment. And before he's got his
ear pods in. Yep. He's listening. Yep. He's sitting up. He's bellied up to the bar, having himself a shot.
No,
and
he's,
a beer
he's going
back.
For a nice glass of Chardonnay.
Chardonnay?
And he's just heard this incredibly memorable mnemonic device that Andy has come up with. Yeah. Also all this, you know, volume of material that he's overwhelmed
just soaking
by.
In the rich banter of us three.
And he says, you know what I'm going to do is I am going to call in, but hold on. I'm not an animal. I'm not a farmer. I'm going to walk outside to make my cellular phone call.
I'm not
going to
make my conversation part of everybody else's life. That would just be rude. Why would they need to hear one-sided conversation while they're trying to have their own enjoy their own beverages.
So he takes a cocktail napkin and he lays it over the top of his Chardonnay glass.
Mm-hmm. Signals the wait person. I'll be right back. I'm going to be right outside.
Yeah. Steps outside.
Steps outside, lights a cigarillo.
Signals to the valet. No, I'm not leaving yet. Thank you. And
goes out and makes his phone call and voices his concerns and issues with us.
Okay, I mean, encouragement. We have the answer to this question with the next phone call, I think, because if it is like three hours later, then we know.
No, here's the thing. I'm looking at the length of the remaining calls, and they're 2.5 minutes, 2 minutes, minute and a half. What we just described, there's no way that those phone calls are better than what we just described.
I feel we're obligated to dip our toe in this water.
I like the world building we just did, and I'd love to let that just live.
I want to let that be the moment that's the world that Todd lives in. Yeah. You're never going to know. You're never going to know the remaining.
We'll save that for the Patreon.
That's right. That's
those
right.
Calls are going on the Patreon feed.
That's right. Larry. Was there, by the way, if you want to call in, it's 626-657-6428. Larry, was there any mail in the Yaf sack? Because we have a Yaf sack. You can send your email to the address, yourartificialfriends@gmail.com.
Yes, there are a couple of emails I wanted to mention that both involve the same topic. They came in within one day of each other, as well as right around the time that I texted both of you guys that the most random thing had popped up on my Roku as I was kind of scrolling around. One from Heather and one from Jill, who both sent links to apparently something that is brand new. They are Christmas decorations based on Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
No. Wow. I'll take 10.
And they both sent them to me, and I will, they're handmade.
Send the link, forward the link to me.
Yep, I'm gonna. And so Heather and Jill, thank you both. It's not like we've talked about it that much, but it's clearly embedded in people's memories. And I will, for the first time, watch it this year because we've talked about it. I've never seen it.
Why don't we wait until closer to the time, and then we'll announce, you know, you tell us that you're going to watch it that week, so the next week we can have an Emmett Otter review. We can get your...
We can all watch
it. Yeah, I'll say, well, everybody knows how we feel about it, but we want the actual film guy, the guy that went to film school, to break this down and watch it, and I want him to analyze it for me.
We should break it down like the Zapruder film, done. And
one day when things get completely back to normal, we should do a live Your Artificial Friends with an audience, and we should do a commentary with Daughter's Jug Band Christmas. We should just play it in the background and talk the whole time.
I could go on for days.
We should see if we can get some of the people that were behind it.
Yeah. And learn some of the songs. I assume there are songs.
We even look the same.
Yeah, we don't have to do it now.
Maybe we're brothers.
We're a jug band.
I'm hungry. You got mashed potatoes?
I think you're a fine family. Why don't you come over here to the Frog Bottom Men and sing for us?
River Bottom Nightmare Band.
Wow, I didn't know it was so darn quotable.
Larry, by the way,
Andy can do the whole movie beginning to end.
By the way, Larry, you skipped over the thing. You glanced across it. We get a text from Larry this week, and he's like, what the hell is this that just came across my feed? And it was an advertisement for Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
That's what I was saying. It was on my Roku. It came up as
suddenly
recommended or available or whatever.
I'm telling you, they're listening. I will talk to Laura. I'll talk to Laura about something like, you know what? We should buy us a new, shovel. And I'll look at my feed for this, that, or the other thing, and it's like, you should come to True Value for new shovels. We've got shovels on sale. It's like, what is going on? They're listening. They're hearing it through your microphones on your devices. I sound like a crazy animal, but they're listening to this shit and they're feeding us ads based on the shit that they hear us saying. I know it's happening.
Oh, great. Are we going to get a bunch of links for Bukkake videos?
Yeah. it's pronounced Bukkake, by the way.
I'm sorry.
If we're lucky. Larry, how can people send you Bukkake pictures?
No, but you can drop a line in the yak sack. That's a whole different deal. The yak sack at yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We read everyone, even if we don't answer or acknowledge it. And you can follow me on Instagram @TheLarryMorgan. Hey, Josh, how about you?
You can email me at joshuajfligger@gmail.com.
And I can be found on the Instagram at Andy Chanley, on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley, on Twitter at Andy_Chanley.
It's
been lovely.
Officially like 7 minutes after 10, so I think the Steelers are probably losing 10-0 right now. I haven't checked yet, but I'm sure they're probably already down by 2 touchdowns.
Najee Harris has just popped his groin.
Exactly.
So loud they could hear it in the booth.
Oh. Yeah.
Let's go watch some football.
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasure friends.
How's it go?
Tune into this podcast.
Which one? This one.
With your artificial friends.
Play ball!
We started off with bacon. Now I'm going to go polish that tray of bacon off right now. Bye-bye.
Are you ready for some bacon?
I'm going to go bake a pan of bacon.
Bye-bye.